Welcome to the interim episode. Oh, sorry.
DJ, spin that shit.
Press this if you are. Press this if you are.
The new intro song.
We don't need any other music. That's incredible. That's just one of those Friday mashups that used to be on radio. That was better than that. I don't know how you did that. Yeah. Let me have a go.
Try.
I don't think I'm anywhere near as musically capable as you, so I don't know how this is going to pan out, but here goes.
Not bad,
Mr. Horn.
Yours was trap and mine was electro.
Yeah?
Yeah, because yours is more intense.
Don't know what the difference is.
Okay, well, yours is more intense, basically.
Whoa. That's your, makes you think. Do you know, yeah, you have a go. It's going to sound like the gym bay.
All right. Kind of, yeah.
Avant-garde.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to be like, yeah. I was expecting you to be like,
press this if you are a retard. Press this if you are a retard.
I'm sorry, but nobody knows this, but Mislav is hypnotically dancing almost as if he is a cobra with arms. And that was beautiful. Man, if I was a hot girl, I'd give you the biggest kiss.
Who says you need to be a hot girl? Come here.
Oh, shit.
I know, he is wearing that sailor shirt.
They're passion.
Yeah. So
oh, my
jolly.
God, they're passing our life. Oh, they're doing it.
We are back.
Creeping me out.
We just lost basically a whole podcast.
Yeah,
and I think we're better for it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
We were talking about Jordan's tumultuous week and we got into the nitty-gritties of, like, how media bias works and shit. But should we get into it again or fuck
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we should get into it again, but can we not get into it like it was Meet the Press?
You're in the spotlight now. You know what's coming, okay? Don't try to tiptoe around the issues.
I'm even, really even scared. The older Mislav gets, the more he actually does remind me of a scary
now,
old man.
You're avoiding the question. Tell us. Go on.
Wait a sec. What tea do you want? Hi, Von Saturday night. Come on, what do you want? Actually, once again, yeah. You deleted it. Shout out to whoever sent us the tea care package. You're a freaking legend. I've never had turmeric tea before, so I'm just going to bathe in it. Not even going to drink it. And the coffee looks to
it's
die
for. It's good
for
you. Turmeric
no
is
shit.
Real. The Indian, well, actually, I don't know.
Dude,
it's definitely the only reason Ali's still alive.
Dude, it's the
I reckon that if you, I reckon if you cut his arm open, then just be like when you hit a mushroom, it'll go.
Yeah.
Dude, just turmeric, a cloud of yellow spores.
Dude, turmeric is an anti-inflammatory.
Oil laced with turmeric, so it's going out.
Dude, the only
so much weed smoke.
I actually think the only reason you're alive is that accidentally, yeah, like you know, in Pakistan they're making curry. Like, oh no, I dropped some turmeric. That's the only reason you're alive. That shit's insanely good for you. Anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. I've heard.
So what do you want? Shout out. Whoever
turmeric, can I get turmeric?
Whatever you're having, unless it's goof.
I think I'm actually going to, I know it's late, and I know it's, how late is it? Too late for, it's quite late, but I kind of want coffee. I'm going to try the coffee.
Well, you do you.
I'm doing it. I'm having the coffee.
Is coffee a Croat thing?
I think it's a world thing at this point. I mean, yeah, Croats drink coffee.
Not an Indian or Paki thing.
Guess how Croats drink coffee? There's a huge, people don't.
Anally.
Only me. There's a big. People don't really realize. Well, okay, it's not significant, but there's like a few key factors of Croatian culture that have been heavily influenced by the what are they called down there? The Muslim ones.
Sardines or Bosnians.
Yeah, the Bosnians, which actually the Bosnians were just. Ottoman, like they were just invaded by the Turks. So
all white suits are a sign of success. That's one.
Dude,
that's
you,
one.
That's
one.
Also, shaving your head is very boss there.
Yeah. The second one, the third one is Čevapi, which is just like kofta. It's just, they just call that. And the last one is
blue tinted sunglasses.
Yes, yes. Stop preempting them all. And the sixth one is they
I know, it's so bad.
Croats drink coffee like Turks. They cook it in that little pot on the stove.
Yeah.
So Croats drink Turkish coffee. How weird is that?
Well,
I thought you'd be more surprised.
It wouldn't be like weird at all because, like, isn't that the big country next to them?
Yeah. But dude, they're not. They don't. Okay.
That's like.
Saying, I don't know if you know.
Would you believe it? Bankers in Papua New Guinea are educated in Australia. It's like, yeah, it makes sense actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, if they weren't, I'd be surprised.
But Ali, this might be newsflash to you, but people in Croatia don't look like you.
But I don't look like Turks either.
Whatever. I'm just saying, like, they're basically Russians, so it's kind of surprising. Like,
who looks the most Turkish out of us?
You.
Yeah, I reckon me? I'm the most Turkish.
No, nah, Jordan.
You
Jordan.
Jordan, yeah.
You nah.
Like Turkish, you want Turkish, me.
Jesus.
The turmeric one, please.
What do you want?
Yeah, just, all right, yeah, get me the turmeric. Get me right. The Ali special, as it's now yeah. known. And what other items do we have alive? Here? Tea's lovely. Should it makes go? Any yeah, moment Ali, special.
I suppose that's somewhat logical.
Don't you feel like when you're drinking
close
tea...
to Italy.
What is?
Croatia.
Croatia is close to Italy.
Then Turkey.
Yeah.
Come on that.
Well, why don't you... Why do you guys like fucking watch Turkish dramas rather than like Italian...
Damn. Vacuum sealed organic life.
Just like Mislav's excited about tea. Dude, this isn't the uplay. This is legitimately the podcast. Just saying.
Fuck him.
All right, okay. We're not going to get into Turkey because obviously it was too triggering for a Croat to like even acknowledge that.
Very turmeric-y.
Oh, that does smell. That smells like an Indian spice store worker's armpit.
It really does.
That sounds
So Jordan, let's go. What were we talking about before while Miss Love makes the tea? Oh yeah, okay, let's just look, we've gotten into this. That pod's deleted, too bad. So we're not gonna dwell too into it, but like yeah. You feel numb. You feel numb after all of the bullshit that's happened around you.
Well, it's just, yeah, you just feel like a zombie after a while because so much is coming in and you just have to respond to all of it and you have to get content out really fast. And the whole time you're also sitting there thinking, okay, how do we angle that? And I tell you, you know what would be really grueling? Running for office.
Yeah, that'd be fucked.
I couldn't handle it. I was just thinking this as well because you know what else you realize when you hit the front lines? You realize who your friends and who your enemies are.
Oh, wait. Who's your enemy? Who's your friend? Are we your enemies or friends?
Hard in ABC News.
But, like, wait, so how do you figure that out and what did you figure out?
Well, you just see who's leaking, who's gonna say what. Because obviously you're the one that's being commentated on now. So you kind of actually do get more of an insight into who thinks what. You know what I found out? There is a core contingency of cucks in the Labor Party. That I just, it's the same thing that I think when you look at the people that are from the SDA and that faction in the Labor Party and you think, why aren't you in the Liberals?
Dude, these are the same.
And it's the same thing with on the left faction there where you just think, why aren't you in the Greens? Yeah. Just fuck off.
Wait,
what happened to the middle?
Can I ask you a question? Are you talking about people...
Common sense.
Are you talking about...
Thank you for that input.
Are you talking about people that were, if they were in the US, they would say, oh, we'd rather have Trump than Bernie, or these are the people that we would rather have Trump than Biden?
No, you know what they are? They're all people that are like, I'm the next AOC. How many followers do you have on Instagram? 400.
Oh, so they're like super progressive? So they're like my kind, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, they're cucks like you, Ali. But worse, because the thing is, when I say...
Forest Hall levels.
Huh?
That's lower than Forest Hall numbers.
Hey, he's not wrong. I hate that about, like, my side of the...
But what they were saying, though, because we got, like, some intel from it, it was a tiny, tiny rump of the Labor Party. Most of them really appreciate what I was doing. And you know what? I would think at this point you would get some appreciation from me, seeing as I'm the only commentator in the country that gives them props and interviews state parliamentarians, and there's still a bunch of little pricks in there going like, oh, my God, he uses an Italian accent.
Yeah.
Talk about hitting yourself with a sledgehammer. Dude, there's no one for you.
I know.
I know. It's fucked. It's just like, let's just try and be nice to Ray Hadley. School-friendly Geordie's a racist, though. What the fuck is your priorities in life?
As opposed to one like Ray Hadley.
I don't know what their contingency is. They're just... whiny bitches just constantly complaining about nothing. But the whole thing is, if they listen to you guys, you would never win an election. Exactly. Yeah. Look at it, dude. It's a very simple equation here. The Australian public likes fully funded hospitals and they don't like you. So fuck off.
Yeah, dude.
You're actually making it really hard for Labor to win an election. I mean, honestly, to turn around and say that you should cancel me when you're in the Labor Party.
Yeah.
That is to be the worst tactical decision you could ever make.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, though, it's like 99% of the Labor Party is just like, shut up.
Do you think like, okay, so that motherfucker James, he probably has like a personal relationship with Barilaro allegedly. So we don't know. So we kind of know why he's writing the article. Why do you think the Sydney Morning Herald people wrote the article? Do you think it was just like, do you think they were told to write it? Or?
Yeah. No, this is definitely a hit piece. Smacked of it. I mean, all of a sudden, as soon as we release the Bruzz video and it gains massive traction, we force him to go on sick leave, or the Sydney Morning Herald just decides to write a piece on me.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust Christo's intuition. Like, he really is, as the Sydney Morning Herald said, a gatekeeper, because he noticed that any other time anybody asked me for an interview, always saying, oh, I'm a massive fan of Friendly Geordies. I've been listening for years. Really like the pod as well, all this kind of stuff. They always seem to be deep into the lore. Then you just have this mousy glasses fuck that clearly grew in a private school and now lives in somewhere alternative. And by alternative, I mean a rich inner west suburb, you know?
Paddington.
Yeah, some. Yeah, I know. The boutique Newtown.
Yeah.
And she. She just picks up and she's like, oh, I want to do a picture. I'm from the Sydney Morning Herald. I really liked when I spoke to her and I said, you mean Nine Fairfax? And she goes, Sydney Morning Herald. She gets even triggered by that. They really believe the dogma. They seem to just walk past that sign that says independent always. And as soon as they do, a barcode comes down and goes and puts it in their head.
Dude, that's a funny image.
But it's like,
and
yeah,
so... Obviously, she was up for a hit piece, so Christo, ever the quick thinker, just puts her on and says, why are you calling? Are you have any connections with John Barilaro? And this is all going to come out in a video later, so this is a little exclusive to the pod listeners. But she got just as scared as James. A little less scared because she's a little less, she's a little more intelligent than a pile of dough with glasses on, but not much smarter.
Hey, hey, I'm right here.
No, Ali, Ali, you're water and turmeric. That's not dough. So, yeah, that's what happened. And she called. That whole gatekeeping thing happened and ensued. I think that what we got after talking to Michael West about it was that their reason for doing it was that obviously Fairfax is just completely captured by Liberals. He was saying that the editors there are all Liberal voters. And so they obviously – but there's two reasons for it. Is that, but they also want to keep the contacts that they have in Parliament. Why? Pretty much because they don't want to do their job. They're all lazy shits who think, no, it's 5 o'clock. I want to go home. No, thank you very much for your ever watchful eye, guardians of the democracy that we live in. It's insane. I never leave work.
Literally.
I'm always there. These people just go home. It's just like, you know, that's all. And society ends at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's their kind of insights into the world. And so they just want to be fed information from politicians so that they can just drop it. And obviously they want to be fed by Liberal politicians. And so clearly it was all part of a strategy. This is what we've heard anyway from insiders, that John Barilaro left to recover after the 4 weeks because we just gave him such a bad image that his staff has said, you're just going to have to play the mental health card.
Mm.
Now, this is what I've heard. I don't really know if this is the case or not. And so he just went away for 4 weeks and then... a hit piece was orchestrated.
Yeah.
And what was the hit piece there for? It was to try and gain, do what they always do. When you start losing the policy debate, you start a sex scandal. Yeah. That is the go-to card of the mainstream media.
But also that sex scandal is so, like, I wouldn't say stupidly because it's not stupid. It's actually very insidious and smart. But it's done in such an ambiguous way. When you read it, you think that, oh, this sex scandal is about Jordan. But that's not even what the article, like, the biscuit scandal is about someone else who Jordan has commented on. Dude, we've commented on a million sex scandals.
It's not really a sex scandal as well.
It's not a sex scandal until you're the motherfucker who does the sex scandal bit, right?
Yeah.
So they sort of plant that information to give, like, purposely give the reader the wrong idea that there are some, like, allegations against Jordan, whereas that's not the case. The allegations were against Luke Foley, who Jordan has commented on, like every motherfucker out there. The person that's writing that article has probably also commented on it.
Yeah. It should have, the headline should have been, I mean, not the headline, but if it was accurate, or if it was, you know, Jim Carrey in Liar Liar writing the fucking, writing the article, it should have been like, it should have been like, comedian dares to comment on a politician allegedly grabbing someone's ass.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it, but that's what all the mainstream media ever does. Doesn't matter what you say, they will find something, especially if you're a broadcaster. Mm. I mean, every sentence that you say is a landmine.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're an interesting one. This is the whole thing that you also learn about people in the Sydney Morning Herald, because they're doing this shit to people all the time. They say very guarded sentences which end up saying nothing, and then they wonder why they keep losing their audience. Mm. Have you ever read a Sydney Morning Herald article? It's just gobbledygook. It's just a bunch of words where they just highlight some quote that's really airy. Mm. It's always just like, I used my anger to keep my anger going. Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Wasn't that like just above your article where you're saying?
Yeah. And I just remembered, take me back to living with my mom. Oh, you know, it was just, that was the last time.
Did you? Sorry.
Were the editors of Sydney Morning Herald always like this, or is this a new thing? Because like Dom King's dad was also part of it, and dude, he was not a liberal voter at any point in his life, was he?
No, but he was part of the machine. But he was doing different work, though. He was more working on
international politics, which
international politics, and like he had more leeway, and I think that he was a legitimately intelligent person. But I can guarantee you, even he would be aware of the conditioning that was going on at the Sydney Morning Herald. Automatons were not. But you know, they're a completely different breed now.
That's the difference between, I mentioned this on the previous deleted podcast now, but like, that's the difference between him and you. It's like, dude, he was aware of all of that. He played the game. You're refusing to play the game. And I don't know what the consequences of that shit's going
to
be.
Well, he had to play the game and we don't. And I'll tell you what the consequences will be. They're going down. No one was backing that Sydney Morning Herald article. It was incredible. The whole thing was just written as Jordan sex scandal update. Jordan sleeps nude in oxygen tent, which he believes gives him sexual powers.
That's what it was.
And back in the 90s, that was the end of your career. That was that was just the political signal of kill this motherfucker.
But
you know?
Also, that does give you special powers. Anyway, sorry.
Huh?
Sleeping naked.
It's in an oxygen tent.
No, dude, that's only a half truth.
Yeah, so they tried to do that. And no one cared. And you know why? It was like as this PhD student from Newcastle that they interviewed who said, and he reached out to me later and he said, you have no idea how much they were pressing me to say something negative about you. But
what do they get out of it? Besides like Barilaro going like top work, they get like more news.
No, this is what's most evil about it. Yeah, the laziness of just getting drops from politicians so they don't have to do their job. I wouldn't even call it a scoop because they just give it out to all of the press gallery now. It's just if you don't get that drop, then you get fired. It's much cleverer how it's shifted over the last few years. And this was actually really the invention of Scott Morrison. Very ingenious. So before that, prime ministers would have a couple of people that they would say, here's the information that I want to just give you so you get the exclusive, and then they obviously sell more papers. Now, Scott Morrison comes out and says, here's the announcements for today, and then he leaves. And there's just seven journalists, all from the competing papers, that go, fuck, and they scribe it all down, and then they release the same information at the same time. That's how captured the institution is.
I
know.
I'm starting to think that, like, Pakistan has a more thorough media, like...
Dude, you know. Ali can attest to that.
Like, it's fucked, and, like, I don't want that media, but, like... They're not all the same. Like, they're arguing for different things. Over here, you kind of look at the media, and besides, like, okay, I don't want to seem insensitive, but like, besides bullshit social issues, they're all the same, dude. What? Okay, name me one thing that the left media outlets, even if you can say there are any, that is significantly or fundamentally different economically than what the other news articles are arguing. They're all arguing about like
social shit and semantics. What about the Communist Manifesto Weekly?
Is that a paper?
There is a word.
No, I assume as much. But it's probably the most communist place of all, Byron Bay.
It probably wouldn't be in high rotation. You mean like big media outlets?
Yeah.
There's nothing economic. You know what it is? They have a difference of opinion of whether or not climate change is happening still in 2020. But even then, they're only arguing about whether or not it's existing. So they've made climate change a culture war.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Which I think they need. They need something to, like, bicker about so that they can, like, have words at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's horrible, dude. Like, yeah.
No,
even in terms of, like, in this post, like, yeah, it used to be something, like, you could at least argue back in the day that foreign policy is something that you could have differing opinion. Not anymore. Now with, like, China being where it is, you've got to toe your line on that. When it comes to, like, domestic issues, you've got to toe your line on that.
Mm.
And it's kind of suffocating.
Mm.
Like, even before, let's say Jordan wasn't going to it. Let's say Jordan was, like, working at Target.
Which is where he would be if the internet didn't exist.
Yeah. And I'd much more prefer that, just listening to BG's greatest hits every day.
Yeah. Can we all just take a moment and a moment of silence just to recognize and envision that moment, that image of Jordan working in Target instead of being extremely successful? And
I saw that vision because I worked there at 16.
Oh.
I do remember walking up to my manager, David, who was 24, and thinking, wow, you're the coolest man on earth. And he just turned to me with this face of, kill me.
Oh, was this the guy that was like,
especially with this song over and over, more than a woman.
Was this the guy that was just sort of like, got this script reading coming up / music thing coming up / some sort of ambitious creative endeavor? And then I swear you told me this, and then he was
No, that was Mr. Mambo.
Oh.
Who was even older. In my eyes, even cooler.
And wasn't it like, oh, I slept in. Oh, well. Was that his deal? He missed on.
Yeah, that's right. And then I said to him, okay, so you had this big deal lined up to sell your skatewear design to a big designer.
Right.
What happened? He goes, felt like going for a skate. And then I said, why? And his response was, and he thought he was the smartest man on earth for saying this, because I believe that summer nights are for fun.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
I wonder where he is now, though. That's the big question. Because he might have an eternity of summer nights and only summer nights, you know, like.
And shout out, Summer Wine.
What's that?
Isn't that a Thirsty Merc song?
Summer Wine.
Close. Shout out Thirsty Merc.
I mean, that
Merc
pretty much was my experience with good old rye.
Right.
You kept saying rye.
Let me live it down, please.
That was so satisfying.
You know what is amazing? That was more humiliating than being on the front page of the CSIR. Way more.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be humiliated. I think you should wear it as a fucking badge of honor, dude.
What, the rye thing?
No, not the rye. Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, man.
Of course, it's a massive badge of honor. Like, everyone knows it. It's like, it is dinosaurs will die, and it is the turning of the changing of the guard. And I didn't think it would be my old high school buddy here that used to take his pants down for gags, but like.
And still does.
And still does.
And he's now on the front page for it.
Pull up your pants, Jordan.
Has made it lucrative. I mean, has made a lucrative
but
business.
But I like gags.
Made what? A lucrative business of pulling down his pants, nonetheless. But, you know. I'm very, very curious to see what happens next in terms of
Wednesday. You know what? I was talking to Michael West about it, and he was saying, you will look back on that essentially prank call that you and Christo did on James O'Doherty, and you will see that as the tide turning.
Fuck.
And I think he's right. Something feels different at the moment. The fact that the Nationals are scared, they're having to strategize, they're clearly on the back foot, they're attacking in the press, and that's going to act as a distraction for a little while, and I think that this is why they started pulling all the strings to try and get as many attack pieces out as they possibly could, because they know we've got way more shit on them, and we're going to be releasing them, and Bruz was just the beginning, and Bruz was mostly just things that were on record, but we just put it together to go, look at how corrupt this piece of shit is, but we've got drops on this guy now. Actual drops, not drops from John Barilaro going, here's the scoop for tomorrow. I am awesome and I really like veal.
And veal. Energy drink. Both.
Yeah. I need the energy to move my mouth to chew it. So yeah, like that was all happening externally. Internally, I think the gameplay here was to try and discredit me with the old sex scandal attack.
Yeah.
But what was incredible, and this is why I really think that the tides have well and truly turned, I didn't even need to make a response video.
Because it was...
The entire audience turned against them. Top badge people on their own Facebook page were saying, this is disgraceful.
Damn.
I mean, Marcus Paul sitting there talking to Helen Dalton and Jodie McKay saying, oh, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, the guy takes his pants down. We're all... None of us are perfect, but...
Yeah.
It is... It's pointing out corruption. Is perfect.
I can't believe that be Marcus than... Paul has become like... You know,
dude, I have a theory about that. I'm just saying.
What is it? Well, he's helping his own audience.
It's not even that. I just think he really wants to be friends with Jordan.
I think he respects him. He respects him that Jordan would just be like, ah, have a go at me, will you? I'm going to tear you a new one. And then he was just like, He respected that Jordan didn't kowtow at all. And then it was probably the first time in his life that he's had like a ruthless. Very, like, creative, hilarious, ruthless takedown of him.
Yeah.
And he's just this old geezer that sits in some shitty, you know, 2GB studio. So he's probably just sort of like, it was legitimately like, you know, a new experience for him, like a new flavor or like taking shrooms where it's like, never seen these colors before. So, like, I think he legitimately respects you for going after him. And then that sort of opened the door to him.
I think he respects you for going after him and hence giving him more audience. But
well, obviously he.
It's a rich tapestry.
Yeah, that's not important.
Look, obviously that doesn't hurt, and obviously you know he. But I don't think
he appreciates.
But like doing it just to get more audience is not that wouldn't sustain anyone long time. You get over that in like less than a week.
Otherwise,
like,
we'd have 500,000 subscribers for this podcast, right? Am I right?
What do you mean?
I mean, if that worked, just leeching off of someone else. Like even though this is the Friendly Joys podcast, but let's be real.
Most of it is just commenting on people that are more famous than us.
Yeah, it's the view.
And slowly, slowly you're becoming more famous than them, so we're going to run out of content.
But don't you think it's insane that, like, Marcus Paul is like, I don't know, the New York Times of Australia now?
Dude, he's not.
It is, though. In terms of... I don't even know if...
No, he's that guy from Good Night and Good Luck.
But look, I don't...
He's the only man with a radio mic in front of him telling it like it is.
But what's an equivalent... Okay, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
But on this particular issue too, Jordan, that's because he knows you and he knows what's happening over here. I'm saying this, man. Like, there's no one out there in mainstream media that would unanimously just pick the right... Who would talk about things like the way they are. I appreciate Prawn doing this, but he's also kind of doing it because maybe he's your friend. Maybe he feels passionate about this. Maybe he just read it and he's like, dude, that's unfair.
Dude, two words, common sense. He's trying to get to the bottom of it.
But does he common sense for all topics that he covers?
Yeah. Well, not all topics, but like...
I think he just sits here and he's everyone out. He's Miss Love. He's Miss Love on AM radio, which, let's be honest, is where Miss Love belongs. Maybe Marcus Paul is you. Maybe you just get a texture and then just like color in your head.
Dude, like, you know what's even more than at least with Jordan, like, he's here and he's fucking drinking tea with us and we can talk about this. I'm getting real bummed out about this topic because of Julian Assange, man.
You feel bad for him.
I feel really,
so do
really
I.
bad for him. Because
so do I.
He's being... It started off like what Jordan was saying. First off, didn't know how to deal with this guy. There you go, sex scandal. This chick was like, I don't even want to file a complaint. This was weird. It was consensual sex, but there was a disagreement about the condom use, which is like, force her to like file a complaint. Only because they wanted to extradite him to the U.S., the guy fucking lives in a U.S. embassy an Ecuadorian embassy for fucking 7-8 years. Then now is facing like a lifetime jail in the U.S. All for wanting to fucking speak the truth, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's tough. He's a journalist.
I know.
Like, he isn't even... You could potentially argue something with like someone like Edward Snowden, who's like inside of the organization, leaks, hacks into it. This guy was just fucking publishing shit, man.
Yeah.
And you're treating him... Like, he's some fucking pedophile.
It's insane. I don't know how... Is there any, is there like, apart from people like in maybe, you know, the States that are just sort of like, he was giving away security to information to the enemies, apart from those kind of people, is there anyone that really is opposed to him?
He wasn't even, like, they weren't even accusing him of that he was giving things to enemies. He was publishing them. So they're like accusing him. Well, initially it was like, you raped someone. And then when it became clear and the chick was like, dude, that's not the case. So they had to, so now they're like, we're trying you for leaking sensitive information about people that were spies, which is, again, something that's not true.
Mm.
All of the things that he talked about, mentioned, were years in back, and he made sure, and he blacked out a lot of the names that he thought could be in danger. But it doesn't matter. It's a guy who decided to fucking speak the truth, not just speak the truth, but speak the truth at a time when the establishment did not want you to speak the truth.
Mm.
And he is paying the cost for that.
Wait, he started something.
Where is he right now?
In jail.
Where?
In London. British jail.
In it.
Waiting to be extradited to the US and possibly facing a lifetime imprisonment. Also, let's not forget, he's a fucking Australian citizen. Like,
Where's he from?
From Queensland, I think.
Right.
But, dude, I don't know what to do.
It is a travesty. I totally agree. Unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
I'm gonna like say this to all the pod fans, and I'm gonna do it myself because I don't know what else to do. I think I'm gonna write a letter to my MP. I know that's not gonna do shit.
You know, I was gonna say that as a joke.
Yeah, I know it's a joke, but I don't know what else to do.
That's not gonna do shit.
I know, but like, dude,
it's you know what I think?
It's something. It's something.
I think you look. That's very all well and nice, and that's very sweet that you want to give yourself a little. Talk to who is your local MP again?
Craig Keeley. Yeah. The guy who's gonna literally wipe his ass with my letter. He is the worst man alive.
Craig Kilborn.
He's the up and coming front bencher for the Liberal Party because, hey, fucking hate climate change poofs. He's super conservative. Right.
I think my member's Gladys Berejiklian.
Is that yeah, state, but federally.
For state,
she has to be for state.
Wait, what do you mean federally?
I'm trying to think of who your member is federally. I don't know.
Wait, Jordan, there's a state
and federal member?
I didn't know that. What? So there's the what? I know, but the federal member doesn't go to like Canberra, does he?
They do. The state member doesn't
go to Canberra. What, every suburb in Sydney has a person that goes to a fucking...
A few suburbs can have one.
Yeah, it's like footy teams.
Yes, like footy teams.
Oh, hey, so who's mine?
I love that example. I'm going to use it often.
So who's mine?
I don't know.
What's your
electorate? You probably should know, but then again, you didn't know what ALP standard for.
That is correct. Very correct. That happened today. And the only answer I got was a cohort of jeers and laughter, to which I assumed it was Labour. anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a Liberal person.
That I would have guessed.
Yeah, so it's kind of irrelevant.
The member for North Shore
who cares what his favorite pizza is or her favorite pizza.
Like, my MP is literally the worst man on planet. He is not a good guy.
Write a letter to him. He won't fucking read it.
No, he wouldn't.
Especially with your name, he'd be like, unbelievable. Yeah. And too right.
Dude, I just don't know what we could do. Like,
I don't either. But the thing is, the Assange thing is like, it's almost like the canary in the coal mine. It's such an early case of like, it's emblematic of like the bigger issue here, which is like freedom of press, freedom of information, like corruption, like, you know, like people, like what's it called? Corporate donations, you know what I mean? All that shit, like.
Straight up lying. That's what it is.
The thing is,
if you're going to lie to the public, someone has the right to fucking tell that you're lying.
Yeah, but what I'm saying...
Like, essentially what Jordan's doing.
Totally, but what I'm saying is like...
No one fucking knew about the fact that like...
No, but he did it to the nth degree, right? What were some of the big bombshells he dropped or exposed?
Assange?
Yeah.
He didn't drop anything.
What?
He just set up a server that was private that journalists could drop things into.
Yeah.
So he's not... actually guilty of anything.
Which is why they have to try him for bullshit reasons. They're trying him for like hacking, Whereas he wasn't even the person who was hacking. He had the platform which hackers could have potentially
used. So what actually...
By the way, alleged hacking. We don't even
what
know
did what they do? Hacking. What did they do? So they would post articles and then what?
Yeah, it's like...
Articles, documents.
Documents.
And then what people...
Which was the best bit about it. It wasn't articles. It was straight up documents because there's no lying there.
Yeah, it's true. It's amazing. In fact, he should be like praised.
You know what? He didn't even expose anything that we already did know. He just showed us footage of like...
What kind of shit?
So, you know, like, for example, the Iraq War. One of his most explosive things were of the Iraq War, where, like, he showed video footages of like, choppers
that shooting
people. But, like, it also gave the context of, like, it was very obvious that these people were unarmed, and it was very obvious that they had probably nothing to do with terrorist activities. And they were talking about that while the guy's, like, riding a chopper. But he's like, okay, what's my point? He's like, nah, kill him. So they kill him. And that's what we already knew that there was extrajudicial killing over there. There was nothing like particularly new about it, but it was just in your face.
Yeah.
And Hassan made a very cool point about that particular video, which kind of explains our situation. He said, Fox News is better than CNN. Fox News, because it has the incentive of trying to get ratings however possible, they showed the entire video of them actually shooting the people. CNN... Because they're like, they didn't show the entire video. They're like, oh, Julian Assange released us that video and we're not going to show you the entire video. So Julian Assange was like, dude, I prefer Fox News. At least they showed what I was trying
Why
to show
Why did Fox
people.
Show it?
Because they wanted ratings.
CNN would get ratings.
But what was their slant on it?
No.
That giant tree over there, just it could have been an upside down tank.
Yeah, there was like, signs that like, stolen material.
I speak
released.
With the president quite frequently and... He wouldn't kill an unarmed child. Okay.
Yeah. He's very nice to his dog. Always that voice as well. Yeah, I got to tell you something. Everybody is saying that the president isn't a nice guy. Have you ever met him? That's what I always ask him. Have you ever met him?
I'm sure. I was trying to do Hannity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do your Hannity impression.
My Hannity impression is just essentially a everyday American Joe. Now, he has no character in his voice. He has no particular timbre to his voice. All I know is that he essentially is a cartoon character from the 50s, okay? That was the American. He is a very plain,
dude, but you have
voice.
Heard that, like, oh, sorry, just like a little diversion, but like, you have heard that whoever's met the president thinks he's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
like,
it's irrelevant.
Apparently, he's a really nice guy.
He seems it.
Yeah.
All the candid footage of him, he's always sitting there being like, yeah, and when they build the Eiffel Tower. Wow, it's very tall.
Let's not forget grabbing by the pussy. The funniest of the object.
Yeah, I want to say something about that too. And okay, I'm going to say it. Even the fact when he's telling Billy Bush that he grabs him by the pussy, his intention is trying to be funny. He's trying to make the guy laugh.
Mm.
And that's horrible, like you grabbing people by the pussy and all of that shit, not on board. But I'm just saying, even at that point, He's trying to, I'm not gonna say, I'm too scared.
No, it's true. It's like Gavin McInnes. Gavin McInnes' point. It's locker room talk. But back to the point. What's Snowden's deal? Where's he live? What's his deal?
He's Russia. In Russia.
And is he a one? Is he? Do they want him in jail?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
Why is Russia harboring him? Because Russia, right?
Because Russia.
So what
Putin did, like triggering.
What did he do that was so egregious?
Edward Snowden worked for NSA, the National Security Agency.
The NRA, yeah.
And he had access to a lot of classified information, and he figured out that a lot of this stuff is actually straight up illegal, where they're spying on everyone, irrespective of who they are, no warrants or nothing. And he came up to the conclusion that, dude, this is like incredibly illegal and I should do something about it. So then he basically took the data in a USB and he gave it to Julian Assange. Julian Assange is a publisher, so he published it. And obviously Edward Snowden had to fucking flee. Dude, he's looking at a 20, 30 year jail sentence too. And it would be easy to put him into jail because what he did was like illegal. But also, what he exposed was also illegal.
But he just lives in Russia.
He lives in Russia. And you know what? He might get pardoned. Wait a sec.
So just because I don't follow this enough, but just give me a rundown of the stuff he exposed. What, just spying in terms of like your phones, the internet. They can read your emails, that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Just basically, like, you know, with all the shit that the U.S. accuses of China, he exposed that they already do.
But
it's
like
it,
they're much more advanced. But tell, give it to me. What? Like specifically.
So what they, so what he was talking about was that everyone's data is being collected.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean everyone is spying on you in real time. But what they know is, like, as soon as they look, okay, let's say Jordan would be a perfect example for this. This is how it works. So Jordan is just an individual, right?
Yeah.
He might do shady shit. He might not do shady shit. He's living his life. Then he becomes a YouTuber. No one still gives a shit about it. Then he releases a video on John Barilaro. And then all of a sudden, all the federal agencies
That's like a career
are
mate,
now
right?
interested in him. Now,
pretty much.
Now what they have is not just what Jordan is doing right now, but what Jordan has ever done.
Yeah.
They have information from him when he was 15 years old, what he was doing, what he was up to. Basically, you can find some reason to pin that guy down.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying. Edward Snowden was like, that's illegal. You can't just snoop into people's stuff.
Yeah.
We've got privacy laws. You can't just, like, just because you've got executive, and all of this stuff wasn't even legislated. It was just executive orders. It was, and to be fair, people like Obama as well, just giving blanket freedom to people in CIA, NSA to do whatever the fuck they want. And if they don't do that, they'll be perceived as weak on security or whatever it may be. It's a vicious cycle. And yeah. people that perpetrated don't get any justice. People like, what's his fucking name? The guy who Christian Bale made a video on? Dick Cheney? People like
I watched
Dick Cheney.
That movie. I watched that movie. Dude, that was crazy. Have you seen
who,
that movie?
Who is, like,
it was crazy.
On record
yeah.
to have done really fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the guy should be in jail or whatever, but I'm just saying,
I don't,
like,
know, man.
He gets to live a fucking cushy life.
He's done
and
some,
and the guy
yeah.
who's, like, reporting on him, not doing the actual killing of Iraqis, is in fucking jail. All of them, the entire Nexus. That's, I feel like, am I crazy? The odds are stacked against the weaker person over here.
Yeah, it is crazy. I watched that movie and, like, yeah, just creating, I think it was just executive orders where it's like, yeah, we can, I didn't know that Cheney was kind of like pulling the strings with Bush and stuff. And, like,
well,
basically,
that bit is, like, debatable.
Okay,
I don't
sure.
think it matters.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The important thing is, like, the fact that they could just override laws with executive orders. Be like, everything. Everything can be overridden.
This
like,
is the
override
other thing.
That. Override that. And also, I didn't know that he had such a direct hand in making a lot of money from, like, mainline gas and oil in Iraq. Like, I knew that was
yeah,
a thing, but I didn't know it was, like, he personally stood to get a
that's how they
huge
end up retiring
amount.
Rich. You don't
I know,
make
yeah.
money in public office.
I know, yeah.
You make contacts in public office.
But it is very.
And to he, have it,
that's an evil
dude,
guy.
Dick Cheney is like, have you seen Sacha Baron Cohen's thing where he goes and meets up with Dick Cheney dressed
no.
as like that Israeli soldier?
No.
You learn a lot about Dick Cheney because
really?
Sacha Baron Cohen is just being ridiculous and he's like, so we are teaching 5-year-old kids
is
in
it
Israel
Cheney? Is it Cheney?
How to yeah he's with Cheney.
Oh no, I have seen
5-year-old
it, yeah.
kids how to shoot
and he's just all good
terrorists.
And he's like okay
and Cheney, well, good stuff. Can you imagine?
I know
this guy was the vice president and he's not thinking this guy's joking.
I know
he legitimately thinks yeah 5-year-old give him guns kill a few fucking muzzies who gives a shit right?
It's bizarre yeah.
It's pretty crazy, yeah. And
is it?
I don't know. So just like seeing Jordan go through this and then seeing my other friend Julian Assange go through
yeah,
this.
Good
two,
friends.
Two good friends. Hey, you forgot your other friend Snowden. Oh, that's your cousin
yeah.
Snowden.
Yeah.
Bumming
dude,
me
wasn't,
out, man.
Wasn't Snowden on like Joe Rogan?
He was.
He's
dude,
been on it twice.
Did Joe Rogan
but
get
it's
a lot of-
dead. Nothing new.
He what?
It was just not worth it.
I'll
listen to the whole 3 hours.
Well, he's been out of the game for so long.
Well, you will find that of value.
Yeah, of course.
But you will read the instructions to like White Wings muffins and be like, dude, you know this rises in 12 minutes?
Both hard-hitting examples of serious, you know, content, right? Like, which is more important.
So what's making you optimistic? Because I'm sorry I cut you off at one point, Jordan, when you were saying, well, something's changing. What's changing?
Nobody was defending that SMH article. No one. Only people that worked at the Sydney Morning Herald were going, hey, check this out. everybody, including their own fans, were turning against them, and they were pointing out all the dastardly little tricks that they were doing, and that was before I released my video on it. So I think that actually that PhD student from Newcastle Uni or whatever he is that's actually doing a PhD in media studies as we speak, I think he's right. I think that we're actually teaching this generation how to be critical of the media.
Can I play devil's advocate over here a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the fact that you've got a strong online presence that can spam Sydney Morning Herald comment sections has a bit to do with it? You've got
I don't know, man. They're top they're top commenters.
What does that mean?
Well, they're like, they're top commenters for the Sydney Morning Herald. So they're commenting on Sydney Morning Herald articles all the time.
Regularly?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on top of that, I didn't realize this either, but there's all these 83-year-olds, 70-year-olds that are reading the article going, oh, yeah, I know about Friendly Geordies. Yeah, he's awesome. Wow. Don't be so mean to him.
Wow.
Dude, that's true. You see, like, I remember when the first show that Jordan did, Chin Up Stooge, I think, it was exclusively hipsters.
Did I see that one? I don't think I saw that one. But yeah.
The second show that Jordan did, I think that was the Malcolm one.
No, it was the self-help one.
The self-help one.
That one was sick.
Anyways, one of the in between, I noticed that his audience, dude, at one point his audience was exclusively lesbian hipsters.
What?
That was a fuck face weird. Too. And
yeah, I remember
I was
that.
So horny and desperate at the time. I was getting pissed off.
I had to go shows, anyway.
I was like, dude, there's no one to hit on over
here. Ali, so in the bathroom, furiously shaving his beard.
Hey, girls.
And then, like, anyway, so, like, then he moved on from, like, exclusively lesbian hipsters to hipsters and then to, like, Gen Y. And, dude, his last show filled with boomers. Like, not all of them were boomers. Obviously, they were more young people, but there was
a lot of boomers.
Yeah. It's incredible, yeah. I mean, I second what you said, Jordan, that, like, teaching a generation to be critical of media. And that's pretty profound.
And you know what's amazing? Everybody in the generation, this generation, tradies, people who are working as nurses, they seem to be more aware of the journalist's job than the journalists. The journalists have no fucking idea what they're doing. They're idiots.
Ride. They've had such an easy ride for so long.
And they're super indoctrinated.
Dude, how many people read Sydney Morning Herald? Do you know the figures?
I know that in 2013 it had a circulation of 250,000 and by 2016 that had dropped to 180,000. So God knows what it is now. They stopped counting it.
So it's so they're all lying. Getting less views than like a Friendly Geordies video.
All the time. It would definitely be getting less. And the other thing is most people aren't even reading that article.
Advertising.
But they're not even making that much money anymore.
How come we have to beg people for money?
Because we don't have advertisers. We should be being like, Friendly Geordies brought to you by Nature's Kappa Organic. It's a great Kappa. That's what we should be doing if we want money.
Dude, by the way, if anyone listening, sponsor us, motherfuckers, if you work for like one of those. We've got like what? We've got like tens of thousands of people listening.
Yeah, but who the fuck wants to sponsor us? Like Colgate, grab him by the pushy. Like I just don't know who's going to.
Oh, man.
You see, this is the whole thing. If you were sponsored by me, if you had the nuts to be sponsored by me, I reckon you would get a much better return on your money than most other people. I mean, also, that's the other thing is I'd only choose things that are kind of hippie as well.
And also,
so you'd just only be marketing to them. But I really don't understand why somebody like
audience to buying it too. You'd be like, buy it, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I would.
All right, yeah, I guess I'm buying the Tesla now.
Yeah, and that works.
Here, man. I go into debt, huh?
You know, it's like tried and true. It works.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too big a question, but it's a question for another pod. But I was going to ask if the media is diversifying, there's obviously more voices, right? But is that also dangerous because it'll just drown out. It'll just be a sea of voices being like, listen to this. No, listen to this. So you got all these commentators. Not that there's actually that many now, but there's, you know, your bad empanadas being like, this is why the Greens are not left-wing enough. Like, is it – obviously it's a better situation, but it's not a be-all and end-all. It's not like a fix-all. Do you know what I'm saying? Having a diversified media is like integral, but
I think it's too fucking diverse.
What if it's overly saturated? Is that a good thing?
It is. No, because I think that people like bad empanada only get to a certain. If you want to know how the world really works, i.e. look at one fucking graph on Wikipedia and take it out of context and not even understand what the context was in the first place, then I have the guy for you. Plus, he's extremely ugly.
Yeah, it's proactive
and
whole
I'm pretty
thing.
Sure he's a Mexican food. What the fuck?
Yeah, me
no,
too.
It's
no,
Colombian.
I'm
Colombian.
But whatever, he does pastry. Look like a reheated burrito and smells like a bad empanada. You can tell.
I mean, that's his name.
Fuck,
right?
Fix your teeth. But people like that are only going to get a certain amount of views on them. One, because they're boring as fuck. Two, because what they're saying is bullshit and other people will start calling them out.
Dude.
This is the whole thing. If people are allowed to do it and they don't have these restrictions on them and they're not going into this monolith where when you say, oh, are you guys from Nine Fairfax? And they go, Sydney Morning Herald. It's Nine Fairfax.
Yeah.
You know? Like, people that are that indoctrinated, those people will exist on the internet, but they'll only ever have a small, tiny audience. I think that the people that are telling the truth will just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think Michael West is great evidence of that.
Is he growing?
Just like, to like your question, Miss Love, I'd much prefer a tumultuous sea.
Me too.
Than like a state-sanctioned well. Just like one little well that you can get water from. I'd much prefer like a tumultuous sea.
I 100% agree. I'm just curious. I was just curious. It's just something that you have to, if you really want to blow up the government, you sort of have to have a plan after. You can't just be like, yeah, everyone for themselves, anarchy, peace. Meh.
But that's not the point.
But the thing is, someone like Michael West has a plan.
Good. Well, that's all I'm asking. I because mean, you do too. I'm just saying,
The thing is, like, the institutions in this country aren't bad. They're actually awesome. All it requires is the right government to properly fund them.
Yeah.
Pretty much the only thing that is actually wrong with any society is corruption.
Yeah.
And if you have a free press that is pointing out that corruption, then it's really hard to be corrupt. Like with John Barilaro, for instance. That guy's fucked.
It's strange that you have to question the fact that, you know, it's commonplace now to be like, it'd be nice to have a media that reported on the news accurately. It's like that was the inception of that. I mean, I assume. Well,
no, you know what the inception of it was,
right? To be propaganda.
It's really scary. The inception of news was invented by the Chinese. When its empire had expanded too far for them to reach the outer regions with proper information, so they came up with newspapers so that the emperor could tell the far-off regions its orders. So at its very inception, it was the elite using it as a communication tool to move their interest.
Okay, well, that shut me up. I thought it was some 1920s Italian-American
report. No, that was some romanticising thing. Ali knows about that. When it happened in the 70s after Watergate, they used that as a propaganda thing, even though Watergate was exposed by the Democrats. It was half the power base in the US exposing the other half of the power base. But, they used the image of Watergate to make it this noble profession. But before that, I was listening to the attitudes of people in the 50s and stuff. Everyone knew it was bullshit. Everyone knew who it was owned by. There was back in Jack Lang's time, you look at the newspapers there and there's all these cartoons about bankers, you know, stepping on premiers and stuff like that. People used to know back then that the Tories stood for the banks and the Labor Party stood for workers. That was the message that people knew. People don't even know that anymore. People just think the Liberal Party stands for a surplus and the Labor Party stands for debt.
That's basically how I was raised.
I was also reading about, I can't remember, and I feel bad where I was reading this, but it was somewhere that it was written by a journalist, and he was talking about how the attitude toward journalism completely changed after Watergate for the worse. Because he was saying before Watergate, if you were to get into journalism, you were really passionate about journalism. You cared about it too much. It wasn't the most highly paid job.
Definitely.
It wasn't even the most well-respected job out there. There were much more well-respected jobs.
It was like a trade.
Yeah, it was
job.
Just trading. So people that were getting into it were in it because of the passion.
Yeah.
It's like being into music. You just don't get into music. You get into music, dude, because it's so obvious that you're shit otherwise.
Yes.
But this book was arguing that like after Watergate, what the establishment tried to do was like just show this as like the greatest example of freedom of press, of how the little guy can, you know, go against the big establishment and win. But in reality, what Jordan is saying is absolutely right. It's like half of your establishment was not for it, and half of the establishment was for it. So it was, it wasn't like there was this little guy against the establishment, but like two big elephants that were fighting and one of them lost. But they pitched that as how journalism brought down the establishment. And then what happened was a lot of these fucking psychopaths that would have normally gotten into law or whatever, because they were like these smart cunts, but they wanted to just like get an intellectual kick out of it, ended up going into journalism. And that completely transformed the way journalism worked, because came now corporate. All of a sudden it became like, if you're a powerful, influential guy and you've just given birth to some piece of shit, you're going to be like, you're going to be a journalist. The same way they say you're going to be a lawyer or whatever it may be. It just got filled up with like narcissists.
And lobbyists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, lobbyists, but that lobbying comes later. But it was straight up just narcissists.
Right.
Because
right.
before it was just a profession like...
Yeah.
It was
like any other profession would have been if it didn't have this like incredible thing of, you know, you're somehow a hero if you get into it.
Yeah, transformed.
Yeah. And these, they're not heroes. They're just like fucking swines, because real heroes are like in jail.
Yeah, exactly. That was that people almost wore that as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Right? Like being
wearing
locked
that
up
as a badge of honor, being a political dissident. I remember when I was telling this is like a really common old timey commie thing where in communist families
pinkos.
When like a little child would complain about, oh mom, I don't like this food, the mom would say, oh, you better eat it because you're gonna eat worse food in jail, because you're gonna be a political dissident and you're gonna go to jail because the state's gonna send you to jail. That's also a way of looking at things, you know, that you're just, dude, I'm ready for it. As good in like jail. if being in proxy with Jordan gets me, dude, I'm ready for it. Fuck it, bring it on. Yeah. I'd die for the cause.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, just sub to Forest Hall along the way.
I think that's a wrap on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
So we're already over time. But thanks, guys. And next week, we'll see you live on the Twitch stream.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. See ya.
See ya.
See ya. See ya. See ya. See ya.